Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. And Buck, first of all, how much more fun is it to have these conversations and these chats when there's actually cleats in the grass?
This is the fun part, right? So now we're not making up storylines. Like, we're actually having real storylines, real things to talk about. And when everybody back in camp, we're actually beginning to talk about football and how things are beginning to kind of shake out. And so this is the fun part to me, is that the speculation now becomes a realization of what is about to come. And so I think we love this part of the deal, because we're a week away. We're exactly a week away from the Hall of Fame game. So this, yeah, it's time.
Isn't that crazy? That sneaks up on me every year when that game comes on. I'm like, whoa, wait, I forgot about that. That's already here. That's going to be fun right around the corner. Today, by the way, we're going to kind of piggyback off what we did in the last episode. Last episode, we did 32 rookies we had our eyes on, one for each team. Today, let's go to the sophomore class. We're going to look at one second-year player from each team that we're excited to follow as we get into the season here and follow these guys during training camp. Before we get to all that stuff, though, I feel like at the top of every show, we just talk Packers. But I think it needs to be talked about here. Your takeaways from what you saw yesterday. You're already laughing.
I'm just so frustrated, like, by all of it, right? And I think on our side, the media side of it, like, we reported one way, Aaron Rodgers won all these things because of the concessions and the other stuff. But the team builder in me and us is like, was it all worth it? Like, what ultimately was gained by all of this? And then the other thing that I worry about is not only the Aaron Rodgers situation, right, where he's been away, there's been this fracture and this discord between your prominent A-level player and whoever, the front office, the team. And then you have your other A-level player, Davante Adams, who is campaigning for a contract that would pay him, you know, he'd be the highest paid at the wide receiver position, deservedly so. So now I wonder, when you have these two things that have played out over the course of the offseason, we're now in the room together as a team. You also heard Za'Darius Smith talk about certain things when it comes to the contract. can a team that has so much going on kind of outside of the walls get together and really contend for a championship? Because we talk about this thing in all the books that we've read and all the things when it comes to culture and team and these things. Most championship teams, everybody's pulling the ship in the same direction. I don't know if everybody is paddling on the same rhythm in Green Bay. And that makes it pessimistic that they can actually win a championship based on how the season will start with all of these different agendas and things that people are having to deal with.
Yeah, it was a fascinating press conference. And I even tweeted out, I think that, you know, we all have conversations with people off the record, with players and GMs and coaches, and it's pretty candid. This felt like with Rodgers, it was an off the record conversation that wasn't off the record. It was just like out there for everybody. He kind of aired all his grievances. I was thinking of all these different teams when I was listening to him talk. So I want to get your reaction on this, Buck, because the first thing I thought of was that social media posts of that him and Devontae did of the mm-hmm. Bulls, which is The Last Dance, which anybody that watched that documentary knows that was the friction between the players on the court and the front office with Jerry Krause. They did not respect Jerry Krause. They didn't like Jerry Krause. They didn't mm-hmm. agree with what he was doing. Even though Jerry Krause had built this team into being a multi-year NBA champion. So that was plain sight. That's what he thinks of the situation in Green Bay. So the Bulls were the first team I thought of. Then I started thinking about it from an NFL standpoint. I started thinking about, okay, probably – now you tell me. I think the three of – inarguably two of them are the two most successful franchises over the last quarter of a century. That would be the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. Look at what those two organizations have accomplished. And I'll throw – I worked for them. But they are a perennial playoff team and have won two Super Bowls as well. That's the Baltimore Ravens. Those three probably, I think you would agree, three of the mm-hmm. most respected franchises in sports, not just in football. And I think about Tom Brady. I think about his cast, his supporting cast, year after year, guys going, leaving. Good guys, good teammates, productive players in their prime. You can go all the way through that list of guys, Ty Law, Seymour, all of them that have been allowed to leave. And Tom Brady didn't really say anything. I know he was frustrated. I'm sure he was, but didn't really voice his frustrations. Played for less money, played with all these new players every year, went out and won six Super Bowls. Then you look at Ben Roethlisberger. People forget about the fact that that's been a cycle wide receiver through factory here. There's guys, all of them, they play well, they're gone. They play well, they're gone. The next guy steps up, he's cheaper. They believe in their process, and they never skip a beat. Le'Veon Bell, prime of his career. You know what? We're not going to pay him for what he's going to do. We're paying him, we're going to pay him for what he's going to do, not for what he's done. Mm-hmm. That's how you smartly manage a franchise. You don't give you rewards for what you've done in the past. You're getting paid for what value we're going to get for you in the future. And then you look at the Baltimore Ravens. There's a reason the Ravens have four comp picks every year. It's because they let guys walk because they believe that they can get young athletic players to replace older players. That's been their formula. That's how the NFL works. Now, the NBA is totally different. The players have more power. They have more control. They can choose where they go. They can help choose who comes in. The NFL is not like that. The only one that's been like that at all was last year with Brady in Tampa. They allowed him to bring in a lot of his guys and they won a championship. But I'm telling you, that is the outlier. That is not the way this league has been run.
Okay, so even thinking about that, see, because the thing that bothers me about the comparison that people have tried to make with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Okay, so who did Tom Brady really bring in? He brought in Antonio Brown. He brought in Gronk, and then people have tagged Leonard Fournette. Mm-hmm. DJ, what kind of real contributions did any of those guys really make to a team that was already pretty much homegrown and built when he got there? None of those dudes made a very significant impact. They had flash moments.
Gronk caught two touchdowns in the Super Bowl, and Antonio Brown caught some touchdowns later in the year.
But the team was basically the team that they built, developed. They got it. They got it right. Tom Brady's dropped in there to kind of give them the icing on the cake, but the cake was already baked. My frustration when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and the pieces or what it is that he wants is I'm looking at this team, and this team is pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. When he won the MVP, they were 13-3. Mm-hmm. When he didn't play great, they were 13-3. So the team is there to win. At what point, though, do we hold him accountable for not being able to get the team over the top? And I know quarterback wins aren't an individual stat, evidently, but he's 1-4 in championship games. And I would like to think that part of what you do when you have a superstar, particularly a quarterback, man, if we can get you to this point,
you got to take us. You got to carry us once we get there.
That is the expectation. We get you to this point in these win or go home games, you have to make sure that we are not the team that's going home. And so at some point, I want more accountability and responsibility placed on Aaron Rodgers for their shortcomings. And I think we wipe that away too often. Oh, he didn't have this, he didn't have that, or whatever. But man, if he is really the best at the position and the best in the league, in some of these 50-50 games, he has to win and win this, like the high stakes moments. He has to be able to win these games.
Yeah. And gosh, it was striking when you go back and listen to it. I think he mentioned the fact that he'd won two MVPs 4 or 5 times in there. I talked about his MVPs. I'm like, I don't ever hear some of those great ones talk about MVPs. They talk about titles. Like they just don't talk like that. Anyways, I thought that was fascinating.
All of it was annoying to me when you think about like the ultimate winners. The ultimate winners are deferential, right? Like it's less about, it's more we than me. It's always the us and we and the team and this. And even though he talked about those guys that he said he wished they had stayed for the culture of the program, he didn't reflect the culture that he actually feels like he wants to be a part of. Because if that was the case, he certainly wouldn't have put Jordan Love and the team in this bind, because that was very much a me thing, not a we thing. They would have handled this behind closed doors. They would have done that, and it wouldn't have been the spectacle that has been the entire offseason.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Here's the other thing that I thought was contradictory, right? So it was, he was talking about wanting to have influence and an impact on who stays and who they bring in, right? So roster construction, he wants more of a voice in roster construction. So that was the first complaint. And then later on, somebody asked him, do you want to be here? And he said, yes, I want to be here because I believe we have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. We have a Super Bowl caliber team. So I'm sitting here going, well, on one hand, you're telling me you know better than the personnel department on how to build a team. On the other hand, you're telling me this team is loaded with talent and they're ready to win a Super Bowl. So which one is it?
Right. And that's the thing that's frustrating, right? Because my other thing is this. Okay, it's one thing to be the suggestion box. It's the other thing to be the decision maker. So now if Aaron Rodgers is delving into the decision-making role, are we going to hold him more responsible for the shortcomings if they bring in his guys? Mm-hmm. Because if you're asking for more of this, then you can't shirk your responsibility when it comes down to, hey man, look, ultimately this is on you. You want more, then you get it.
How many kids have you taught to drive, Buck?
Just one, and it's been
Trey. It's hard, right?
Yes, very so hard.
You know how when you're teaching somebody to drive and you're going to give them a little bit of power and a little bit of control, you know, you go to a school parking lot or you go to a stadium parking lot and you say, okay, let's just drive around the cone. Like the Packers have said, you're not taking this car out on the freeway. But I'll tell you what, you want Randall Cobb, like that's the chip you want. We'll go to this parking lot a little bit and see if you can avoid hitting the wall. And that's basically what they've done is said, like, okay, you want to prove yourself? Here's your big acquisition. I've never seen a team trade for somebody yet distance themselves from them. They're like, hey, this is all Aaron. This is Aaron's guy. Aaron wants him. He wants to play GM. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. And there has to be a level of frustration within the building because, DJ, this has dominated the headlines. It was a big story on draft night, and then it's just dominated the offseason stuff. So rather than doing the things that you normally do when it comes to building your team, you're having to constantly ask these questions. And I would say it's not only unfair to, like, the players that are there, but it was unfair to Matt LaFleur because Matt LaFleur is having to play defense. All the things that you typically would do as a coach, a man, competition, we're developing everybody, next man up, be ready to play. Yeah. He is having to pause those conversations because he can't offend Aaron Rodgers. If he says, hey, look, Jordan Love, he's going to be ready to play. And when he has his opportunity to play, he's going to play well. He couldn't throw confidence behind the young quarterback for fear of alienating himself with the other quarterback. It just makes it hard to build out the team for the long term when you're having to appease a guy who is obviously very, very sensitive in nature.
So here's the thing I would say. We got to look at it from all sides. So I would place this blame on Goody in the personnel department. And I think he's even admitted as such.
Yeah.
Communication could have been better.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about this before. But the draft stuff, it wasn't that they took Jordan Love. They just needed to give him a little bit of a runway to kind of be okay with that. In other words, you just say, hey. And I said a month ahead of time because people were like, well, you can't tell Aaron Rodgers because then people will trade in front of you and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, you have to wait till you're on the clock. And then I'm like, no, that's not how this works. All it is a month before the draft, you just tell Aaron, hey, don't know that this is likely, but, you know, you're playing great. We love you. You know, we believe in you. But we have to look out for the long-term future. So there's one or two quarterbacks we really like in this draft. I don't know that they'll be there. It doesn't look like they would be there. But if for some reason one of those guys were to be there, like, there's a potential that we could take one. So I don't want you to be blindsided. If we took a quarterback, we're doing our homework on these guys. It's a possibility. That's all I'm telling you. It's a possibility. Then when you pick him, he can't claim that he never, you know, he's blindsided by this and never thought about it.
Yeah, I liked it. It is just being upfront, being really transparent in the communication when it came to him. Like, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what we're thinking. We do like you. Even though if you go back and study how he was playing, like, there were some dips in his play.
I know. He wasn't the MVP coming into that draft.
He wasn't. And the reason why they pulled the trigger is because you just didn't know if it was on the down. Just look at it. Completion percentage passer rating was dipping in 3 years prior to him playing at the MVP level. They get him. And also remember this. There was a little bit of the infighting between him and LaFleur, like the structure and the audibles and those things. Yeah. Now, when he complied with how Matt LaFleur wanted to play, he played at the MVP level because of the structure. So there's a lot of that going. I just wonder, for the long-term success of the Packers, are they going to be able to get past this and have the kind of cohesive team that you have to have? Because I don't care what anyone says, when he stands in front of the room and talks, there have to be some people in the back like, this guy who hasn't been around, like, I guess we're supposed to follow. If I don't follow, I'm going to get cut, because now he's the guy with all the power. It just changes some of the feelings in the locker room.
Yeah. No, again, we could talk about this forever. There's so many different angles to it. It was definitely, I mean, would you agree that I'd never seen a press conference like that before? Have you?
No, just so much. I've never seen one, but they moved beyond it. So we'll see what it looks like.
Okay, let's jump in here to these second-year players that we're looking forward to watching here. We got our eyes on them. Why don't you – we'll flip it this time. I did NFC last time. You handle the NFC. I'll handle the AFC. We'll go every other division here. Why don't you kick us off with the NFC East, Buck?
Okay, here we go. The Dallas Cowboys. The guy that I have my eye on for the Cowboys is at corner. How about Trayvon Diggs? And the reason why there's so much pressure on Diggs is because this defense really struggled at an all-time level. They didn't really add any older players to occupy the CB1 role, so he has to be the go-to guy. You have Kelvin Joseph, you had Noshon Wright, you have Anthony Brown, but the ball is going to go in Trayvon Diggs' direction. Can he hold up against the premier receivers in that division? That's where I got my eye on him.
Yeah, the size, physicality, ball skills, all that's there. Got to stay healthy, and I think he does fit with DQ's system there. I think he kind of looks like one of those old school Seattle corners. So I like the fit. I think he's got a chance to have a good year. All right, how about the Giants?
The Giants. How about Xavier McKinney? When I think about the Giants and what they need to do is they need to continue to play great defense, and the best way to play great defense is to be strong down the middle. Xavier McKinney is the third level defender that can add a dimension to this defense. His ability to come down in the box, smack people in the run game, but also make some plays in the passing game. Joe just needs that enforcer in the middle of the field. Xavier McKinney could be that guy this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting pieces in that secondary. Bradbury's a stud. They bring in Adoree Jackson, see if they can get him to play at a high level. The ability's always been there. And then you have McKinney back there to go along with your Jabril Peppers. It's an interesting group. They got Logan Ryan there as well. Let's keep it going with the Eagles.
The Eagles, Jalen Hurts. All eyes on Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts going to be the QB1 for the long term? I like what he said. I like his attitude. I like how he's kind of been locked and loaded on just being the best version of himself and not worrying about, hey, is Deshaun Watson going to be a consideration? Are the Eagles loading up to maybe draft one next year? He's controlling the part that he control. And I think when we've seen him play and when they build an offense around him, I think he has an opportunity to play well. Huge challenge for him, huge challenge for Nick Sirianni, but I like what I'm hearing from him, so I'm willing to bet on the young quarterback.
This is one of the things I look forward to when you have a new coaching staff come in there, is what's the identity of this team going to be? I don't know if there is one right now. And so with Jalen maybe running the ball a little bit more from the quarterback position, do you kind of try and capture that physical identity? I know as we were recording this, it looked like Brandon Brooks was coming off the field in Philly. Hopefully there's nothing serious there. Very talented offensive lineman there. But they've got to stay healthy up front. Okay, that is the Eagles. We got one more here, Washington football team.
The Washington football team, this is tough because I think Chase Young is going to play at an all-pro level. But the guy I have my eyes on is the running back, Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson has an opportunity to be one of those hybrid players that we talk about, much like Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, someone who can really do their damage in the passing game. Remember, he did that hybrid thing at Memphis and was a tremendous playmaker. I'm looking for big things from the kid with the, I was about to say, the old nickname. The
Washington you did. You caught yourself. That's good, man. That's big time. I think they're, you know, they're in a pretty good spot in this division. So I'm anxious to see how this offense comes together. We know the defense is going to be rocking and rolling. How with fits do all these pieces fit is going to be interesting. Okay, let's flip it over AFC East, and I'll go Buffalo Bills. To me, a really intriguing player is Gabriel Davis, the wideout from Central Florida, who did some good things last year as a rookie. He gives them some size and some physicality. You can see a lot of four wideout sets. You saw it last year with Buffalo. He's going to force his way onto the field just because he gives them something that the other guys don't with his size and physicality down the field. So I'm excited to see Gabe Davis here in year two.
Look, man, I'm excited to see him because they need to be able to find a way to continue to get the ball out to the playmakers on the outside. I think about what Stephon Diggs has been able to do and all the things that really help propel Josh Allen. The next level is him exhausting plays, utilizing all the options. Gabe Davis can play a huge role, and Josh Allen continue to ascend to an MVP level.
Yeah, one of those names when you're kind of going through the rosters after a long summer, you're like, all right, Emmanuel Sanders is there. Forgot about that one.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a good group there in Buffalo. Okay, Miami Dolphins, let's not reinvent the wheel here. It's Tua. I mean, all eyes on Tua. Looked like a training camp got off to a little bit better start. You know, hopefully for him, he's more comfortable in the system. He's in a situation there with George Godsey and Eric Studsville is the coordinators, where we're going to see a lot of RPOs. We've been asking for that with Tua. That's where he's at his best. That's where he's most comfortable. And I think to me, just of all the young quarterbacks, Buck, it feels to me it's more important that he gets off to a good start. You know, just kind of get a good taste in your mouth and kind of let that confidence start to grow a little bit.
Yeah, now their confidence has to really come from him. There's a lot of noise on the outside about whether Tua Tagovailoa can be the guy. And I think people forget how soon they forget it was Tank for Tua. That was a conversation.
How about that?
Leading into it. I'm going to bank on him finding his rhythm, finding his game. That jump from first year to second year, we have seen from quarterbacks, sometimes it can be significant. I think he makes that jump.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game, bro.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yeah, he needs, again, though, I think getting off to a hot start will be big for him. Okay, let's go to the New England Patriots. And Josh Uche is who I came up with. Look, he's an undersized guy, kind of a tweener coming out of Michigan. Remember, there was a bunch made about the fact his snap counts were low. Harbaugh did not play him as much as he should have there for the Wolverines. But a dynamic, explosive player who can play with leverage off the edge, 6'1", 245. Didn't have a ton of production last year, Buck, but when you kind of look at the underlying numbers, the win rate as a pass rusher was pretty high. I think he's got a chance to develop into a weapon for them off the edge, just as a unique pass rusher.
Yeah, unique pass rusher. And they need more athleticism, more speed. We've seen them upgrade their defense. They brought the veterans back, but you still need an infusion of athleticism. Uche is an urgent athlete. He has the explosiveness. I love how he can play the game at that ASAP level. They just need to get him in the right position so he can really tap into all those skills that he brings to the table.
No doubt. All right, we go to the Jets. And this is a player I really like as a player in Denzel Mims, but I'm curious to see how he fits in. You know, he doesn't really cut the mold of of the wide receivers that the 49ers have played with. You know, you think about more about sudden separators, guys that are efficient at the top of the route. Denzel Mims is a power forward. He's a long strider, but he can go up and play above the rim. Made a lot of big plays when given opportunities last year. So I believe in the talent. I'm curious to see the fit, because when you look at that group, you know, Corey Davis, who is a big guy like Mims, but is a little more subtle and quick, getting in and out of breaks, doing those things. He's going to have his role. Jamison Crowder and Elijah Moore kind of competing for time there in the slot. You know, two really good football players. And I'm telling you, Keelan Cole is like one of those under the radar signings. You know him from looking at Jacksonville over the years. He's a good football player. So that's five wideouts, and they're going to have to fight for those kind of three roles. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be really, really interesting to see how they do it. And ultimately, you want to get the quarterback in, but trying to figure out which of these pass catchers can not only thrive in the number one role, but can also give them the big time playmaking ability that we look for. We talk about wide receiver corps being basketball teams where you have different roles, different guys bring different skills. How does that match up? But Denzel Mims certainly has to be a part of the mix.
Okay, let's get over to the NFC North.
The Chicago Bears. So the guy that I have for them, how about Darnell Mooney? This is someone who really came on like game busters for them. They're really excited about his ability to make plays opposite Allen Robinson. When I think about Moody, it's not only the speed and the explosiveness, but it's the big play ability that he's displayed with the ball in his hands. He has a chance to be a nice number two opposite Robinson. And as we've seen it, as the quarterbacks, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields get comfortable in this system, they're going to need to lean on the number two receiver. Moody might be the guy that we talk about.
Yeah, I remember us doing one of those Thursday night Amazon games last year. And I mean, look, we highlighted him before the game and just wanted to see what he could do, because he is a weapon with his vertical speed. And you go back and look at what he did in college to me at Tulane. Gosh, who was it? It was Auburn. It was Ogbonogany, the Auburn corner that the Miami Dolphins took in the first round. And he torched him. So I'm going back. I had to go back and look this up because I wanted to see it when you mentioned his name. So my notes on him: outside, he can really adjust down the field, killed the Auburn corner, acrobatic catches. He's elusive and twitchy. does have some drops in the middle of the field, but Buck, he ran 4.38, and that speed is real speed. It's real speed.
It is real speed. I mean, you talk about big time speed. And so he has that ability. They just have to find a way to really tap into it. He is someone that they need to make plays. They got to get this offense going. It's important.
All right, keep us rolling.
Here we go, Green Bay Packers. To me, this is funny because we can talk about all the weapons that they have on the outside, but I think A.J. Dillon has to play a role. I know they have big money tied into their stars, right? You got Davante Adams who wants a new contract. We've seen Aaron Jones re-sign as a big contract. But I think we got a taste of it. A.J. Dillon as their fourth down back, the guy that can – four-minute back, the guy that can kind of salt away the games once they get ahead. Big physical runner, gives them a different style, changes the way you have to play on defense. Dillon could have a big role for the Packers as it gets down the stretch and they're trying to find their playoff legs.
Yeah, no, he's built for that. He's built for that later in the year to be able to finish off games, finish off the season. So he's a closer. He's a closer runner with big-time top speed. All right, who's up next?
Minnesota Vikings, Jeff Gladney, the cornerback. They need to upgrade their cornerback situation. That's why they've drafted so many corners over the last few years. Gladney from TCU is someone that we thought had a chance to be a really, really good one. Patrick Peterson is in the fold. They brought Mackenzie Alexander back. Someone has to emerge as a viable option. I like Gladney. I think his size, his toughness, his physicality fits in how Mike Zimmer wants to play. Now we need to step up and see him show up and show out on the corner.
Yeah, one word scouting report for Gladney, feisty. I'll go feisty for him. All right, how about the Detroit Lions here, last one in this division?
You know, this is tough. Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda, third overall pick. When we talk about it, I didn't think there was a cleaner cornerback in the class. Didn't play well, struggled, never necessarily displayed the kind of confidence they want to see. Well, my guy Aaron takes over. Aaron Glenn takes over as a defensive coordinator, former defensive back. He's going to make the game easier for Okuda to succeed on the outside. I think we see the Okuda that was a star at Ohio State and one of the reasons why we talked about him as a surefire, can't miss top five pick.
Yeah, I'd like to see my college grade resurrected here if he can get things going in year two. It sounds like just from reading the reports early from camp, he showed up with a good mindset and good shape and has been really taking to the new coaching. You mentioned Aaron Glenn there. It's a good group they've got working not only as DC but in the secondary there. Hopefully get the best out of him going forward. So it'll be interesting to see how he does in year number two. I'll kick it over to the AFC North. Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow, that's an easy one. I don't know if you read that article by our buddy Bruce Feldman where it talked about the improved velocity that Joe has been able to find working out with Jordan Palmer and studying all that kinetic stuff that they do there of getting his cleats in the ground and really being able to use that as a force plate to be able to really drive the football. And his RPMs are way up. So, arm strength was never, what made Joe Burrow special. It was an average arm. It was the vision was his superpower. Mm-hmm. But, man, now you add some juice and some velocity to what he's done. This kid, he can be as good as he wants to be, man, because his decision-making and ball placement is off the charts good.
Look, man, he's going to have a chance to be off the charts because he has a familiar face that is now in the huddle in Jamar Chase. You throw Jamar Chase in with Tyler Boyd. You have T. Higgins on the outside. They have weapons. They can come at you. And so it's Joe Burrow getting comfortable in that offense. Could see a major jump in year two from him.
Yeah, it's a big one. So we'll see how he does. I like that offense that they've got. See if this offensive line can gel. Cleveland Browns, Grant Delpit. Remember last year, a lot of hype of him on him coming out of LSU. We thought he'd be a first-round pick. He wasn't. He slides a little bit in the draft. Then he gets to Cleveland, tears his Achilles, which is, as I can speak to, is a crappy injury, especially as a young guy to have an Achilles tear. So how does he come back from that? Anxious to see. They went out in free agency, spent some big money on John Johnson to bring him into the mix from the Rams. So trying to find a role. Can Grant Delpit find a role here on this team? It might just be on special teams. But more than anything else, I'm curious to see how he's moving around in the preseason and see if he can get back to what he was.
Yeah, they're gonna need him. When you think about the offenses that are in this division, not only do they have guys that can throw the ball around the yard, but you got to be able to deal with the running game. And so Delpit, remember, was a bit of a hit or miss tackler his final season at LSU. And so we need to see, can he add some physicality in terms of being a sure tackler in the middle? Coming off that Achilles injury, maybe the change of direction and the range will be problematic in terms of being able to have the normal range that he displayed early in his career, but he can be a downhill player. He can be a guy that can get in the box and make some plays happen. They need him to make some plays.
All right, let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kevin Dotson along that offensive line started 4 games last year. Going to start guard for them this year. I really liked him. I thought he was a great value pick coming out of college. This is an offensive line that is darn near new across the board with a new five with what they're playing with here. So it's going to be pressure on him specifically to play well, but them as a group more than anything else, how they play well together, how they gel. This is an offensive line. I think we would both agree once Munchak left, I don't know that that group's been the same. So now you've got a whole new group, and they've got to come together if they're going to have a chance to be a good football team. I'm concerned about the group, but I do like Kevin Dotson. I'm anxious to see how he does this year.
Now, look, I'm also concerned about the group, but I believe there's a renewed commitment to the running game. It's been mandated from the very, very top. The offensive line has to do their part, controlling the trenches, reestablishing the line of scrimmage, moving people off the ball. I want to see if they can move the furniture in Pittsburgh. That offensive line is under pressure because they have to improve and improve in a hurry for this team to seriously compete in the AFC.
All right. One of my favorite players in the draft last year had an uneven year, struggled a little bit in coverage, but the speed, you could still see the speed, and he made some splash plays. That's Patrick Queen for the Ravens. Year two, I think you'll see him again. A lot of the same theme with these guys. You're more comfortable. You've got a better knowledge base. Then your athleticism can show and play. So I think Patrick Queen here, year number two, you're going to see him take a big leap.
I expect him to play, take a leap. The speed, the athleticism, and Wink Martindale's defense, where they're bringing pressure and simulated pressure and creepers and all these different exotic hybrid terms from their defense, they need fast guys at the second level. We thought he was going to be a guy that was going to have an impressive rookie season. Was solid, but we expect more. I think he has a chance to be an all-star level defender in this defense.
All right, there you go. There's the AFC North. Kick us over to the NFC South.
So when I think about the NFC South, first we can go with the Atlanta Falcons. And Atlanta Falcons, to me, is Marlon Davidson, the edge player, inside player, whatever you want to call him for the Falcons. I like the urgency. I like the size. I like the toughness. Dean Pease having a hand in this defense. How did they utilize him? How did they take advantage of his versatility? I thought that was the best part of how he played at Auburn, being able to do it from a few different locations. Let's see if he can emerge as an impact player for this Atlanta Falcons defense.
No, I like that one. This is a team with a lot of young players. And again, let's see how they all can gel together and come together. Not. I think they even mentioned it the other day. Their frustration, feel like they're not getting a lot of respect as a team. There is talent. There is talent on this team. We'll see how it all comes together.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a ton of talent, but it is about bringing it together. So now let's go to the New Orleans Saints. Zach Bond is the guy for me. Coming out of Wisconsin, I love the versatility. I loved how he played the game as a linebacker. I'm looking at this Saints team, and I'm trying to figure out who is the complement. Who is the side dish that can complement Cam Jordan as a pass rusher? We're waiting on Marcus Davenport to be that guy, but there's someone else that can maybe be a blitzer, a second-level defender. Bond is the guy that I keep going back to. Like, man, his versatility has been underutilized. Maybe they take advantage of it this year.
Yeah, last year he started three games, didn't have any sacks, had some pressures, but you know, I think the opportunities will kick up a little bit with him. He's a unique guy. Again, I think kind of similar to Uche, 6'2", 235, 240 pounds, undersized, but has length and knows how to use it. So it'll be interesting to see how he does this year. Okay, keep us rolling.
Here we go, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look, I feel like this guy's already broken out, but I'm going to bring him up again. Antoine Winfield Jr. Mm-hmm. His ability at the third level to play the middle, to bring some nastiness and some thump to that defense. He kind of plays that enforcer role at times. He jumped in, didn't skip a beat, coming from college to the pros, even though he was a rookie in a lineup that featured a lot of star players. He fits in. I think now he has an opportunity to ascend to stardom as an all-star caliber player manning the middle of the field for this defense.
Yeah, and intelligence and instincts have been his calling card, intelligence, instincts, ball skills. And I think he's a great example of somebody who mastered what they were doing on defense. And now that he's got a mastery of that, this is somebody who's going to be able to use his intelligence to figure out what you're doing on offense. And that's when you're going to see spike in production because he can focus his attention and his knowledge base and soak up what other teams are doing. Man, the sky's the limit for this kid. He is a really, really good young player. All right, Carolina.
Carolina, we've already talked about him. Should have been defensive rookie of the year. When you talk about Jeremy Chinn and just everything. And talking about him breaking through and breaking out and being a super sophomore, I'm talking about being an all-pro caliber player. This guy does it all. His versatility, his dynamic playmaking ability from the second level, and what he was able to do and the things that they put on his plate as a first-year starter, I can only imagine what they're cooking up in the lab this year for him. He is going to be a household name by the end of the 2021 season.
Yeah, fun to watch. Just speed. You find a good defense, I'll show you a fast defense. You find a bad defense, usually it's because they don't have enough guys that can run, make plays. So Carolina's got a lot of those guys. So I'm anxious to see how they do. Okay, let's kick it over to the AFC South. Selfish pick here, Buck. Tennessee Titans, Darrington Evans, App State. As yes, a running back, I mean, Derrick Henry's obviously is the man, is going to get the bulk of the carries there. Evans was only healthy for five games last year. You saw some splashes of what he can do to add some big playability there as well. And I think it is something where you can, Derrick Henry can kind of wear people down and soften them up a little bit. And then I think Evans can get out there after Henry's done the body blows and he can hit some home runs. So I don't think he's going to need a lot of carries. Not going to get a lot of carries, obviously, but I think he can do some damage in limited touches.
Yeah, I think he absolutely can do some damage. And you do want to alleviate some of the pressure and some of the burden on Derrick Henry. Longer season. And so if you're a team that has playoff aspirations, you have to kind of stagger some of these carries out because you don't want to wear Derrick Henry out so he's not fresh going into the postseason. He has to play a role. I expect this guy to play a big role in this offense.
Yeah. Let's get to the Indianapolis Colts. A guy we both really loved in college and we saw make some plays last year, Michael Pittman for the Colts year two. Carson Wentz coming over there is going to get all the attention. But when you look at who he can throw the ball to, Pittman to me played really well last year, and I think there's even more ahead of him. He's got a chance to really, really emerge as one of the best power forward, you know, wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah,
he's got some Allen Robinson to him when you watch him.
He absolutely does. His physicality, his toughness, I think he has to lean into it even more. I want to see him more physical, more aggressive in these 50-50 ball situations, but also doing the dirty work over the middle of the field. I know they have T.Y. Hilton still there, but T.Y. Hilton is kind of aging out. I'm looking for Pittman to really, really step up and to embrace the role of being the number one receiver, the lead receiver in this offense.
Well, you didn't give me any love for my music references on the last episode, Buck.
I did.
And a lesser man would have been deterred and said, I'm not going back there. You know, I lobbed out. Mr. Wendell, I thought was a good one.
You act like you never even heard of it.
It wasn't really one of my favorites.
It wasn't one of my favorites, but I understand.
I come back with Come On, Ride This Train. I mean, Quad City DJs, and I got shot down. You give me nothing. You give me no love whatsoever. But I'm not going to be deterred because I'm coming back right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. La, 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 Visca. I mean, that's it. I got to go La Visca Chanel. Let's get a little international here with our flavor here. Dude, he's going to be fun to watch. You've seen this team. You know this team really well. And you know that Urban Meyer has always had a role in his offense for this type of player.
Always had a spot for him. And it's a great spot and situation for him to jump in and play a variety of different roles for the Jaguars. They need explosive players. They need guys that can turn small passes into big chunk plays. And he certainly can do that. I'm really looking forward to watching him settle in, right? Wide receiver, playmaker, whatever that role is, I think he's going to settle in and be more comfortable in year two. And that's a scary thought for an offense that certainly needs more explosive players, more explosive plays in the passing game.
Can you imagine every time he makes a big catch and you just blare that over the sound system? I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know how that plays well in Jacksonville.
Come on, man.
Maybe other parts of the country would play a little better.
That's right. This is what we need. This is why we need Nabil. I don't know what the rules are and how much of a song you can play. But like we need a little drop. Yeah, we need every time we talk about La Visca Chenault, we gotta just drop that in. All right, Houston Texans. And it wasn't a lot to get excited about when I looked at their group of second year players. I would like to recoup my grade on Ross Blacklock, so I'll go with him. Just didn't do much of anything last year. He started one game. He had 14 tackles. He had one TFL, two quarterback hits. I gave him a pretty good grade, Buck. He just didn't do a whole lot there in year number one. So what does he look like in year number two? I think he's his calling card coming out when you studied him was his quickness and his get off. And hopefully now with Lovey running this defense, they're going to let him, you know, get upfield and try and make some plays. But man, my draft grade after 1 year, I don't feel great about it. Not going to lie.
No, that's okay. But I think Lovey could be a godsend for him in terms of being able to simplify the defense. They're going to talk about playing hard, running to the ball, doing those things. When you think about Blacklock, urgent athlete, fast, physical. That's what he did at TCU. Let's see if he can get back to doing it with the Texans.
All right, there you go. That's the AFC South. Kick us over to the NFC West.
Here we go. The LA Rams, Van Jefferson. Now that Cam Akers is out of the mix, I'm thinking this team has to skew a little more towards the pass. Matthew Stafford is one of the best pure. I mean, look, he might be the most talented quarterback that we have in the league just in terms of just throwing. Yeah. And so now you give him an opportunity with Van Jefferson. You think about the other guys that they have on the outside. DeSean Jackson commands some attention. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson is going to get a lot of one-on-one. If they go 10 personnel, one back, four wide receivers on the field, Van Jefferson is going to win because he's one of the best route runners. On a team full of route runners, he's going to fit in, and he is going to do damage on your third or fourth corner on the outside.
I'm curious to see how much they really end up running it. I mean, they're going to – he's got these toys and he's got Matthew Stafford and you see these training camp reports.
They're going to throw it. Yeah. Throwing it down the field.
All right. Cardinals.
When I think about the Cardinals, it has to be about Isaiah Simmons. DJ, when we talk about the guy being the ultimate Swiss Army knife, when he was coming out of Clemson, surprised that he didn't make much of an impact for the Cardinals. This is a year where he has to figure it out. They're putting him at inside linebacker. His length certainly is going to play a role. His athleticism, as they crank up the pressures, I think you'll see him more involved in a pass rush game. Isaiah Simmons needs to be an impact player, and I believe he will be an impact player in year two.
Yeah, I mean, he can do everything. Now it's just a matter of, again, let him settle. Let him get settled a little bit and see if we can't see him take off. Niners, 49ers.
Brandon Ayuk teased us a little bit on the outside. He's a wing back. He's a guy that has big-time playmaking ability as a runner in the open field. He does a great job of taking it when they give it to him on those fly sweeps, misdirections, bubble screens, crossing routes, all that stuff. Man, he has a different gear and some physicality and toughness that makes him very, very hard to deal with in the open field. I am excited to see what Kyle Shanahan has in store for him. Also, his running mate, Deebo Samuels. These two guys could be a problem because you have to start thinking about defending the running game when you're facing the Niners. That's a lot of one-on-one tackling opportunities that I don't know if many DBs can make against these guys, particularly Ayuk.
Yeah, Ayuk, the length too. I mean, when you just see his length, which is pretty unique, and saw some of the clips the other day from practice, him going over the middle, going up above people, making plays, look like go-go gadget arms with his arm length there. So he's a phenomenal talent. Seattle?
Jordan Brooks, everyone will talk about Bobby Wagner, who is the OG of all the inside linebackers in the league, is still doing it at a crazy level. But Jordan Brooks is a tackling machine. He was a tackling machine when he was at Texas Tech. His athleticism, his speed, his instincts. This is a defense that really relies on having instinctive defenders in the box. He has great instincts, great awareness. Want to see him unleash it in year two.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Seattle defense that, man, that big names, maybe not so much, you know, when you look at, you've got Bobby Wagner and you've got Jamal Adams, but they're going to need some of these other kind of, I want to say role pieces, but just younger pieces, maybe some unproven pieces to surround those key guys that they have to get this defense where it needs to be. Okay, let's kick over last division, AFC West. And I can roll through these quickly here. Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, just catch the ball, man. Like, getting open is not a problem for him. Phenomenal route runner, tons of separation, just needs to be consistent catching the football.
Just needs to be consistent. One of the best route runners that you can see. Has some sizzle to his game. We'll see which quarterback is the one that is in charge. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, whoever it is. I think you can see a new and improved Jerry Jeudy.
All right, we get to the Kansas City Chiefs. Wasn't one of their top picks, but he was their best pick, and that's Legarius Sneed, who ended up being, I want to say, a shutdown corner, but somebody that you could really trust and rely on getting things done there. So to me, man, as good as he was last year, you figure he's going to take another step forward this year. And you look around that division, you've got a lot of talented wideouts he's going to have to deal with. So, man, it's such a luxury when you got to pay all these stars, when you're a Super Bowl caliber team like the Chiefs, when you can hit on some of these mid-round guys, it is huge. And what a hit there for Brett Veach on L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, Sneed came through for them in a big-time way. And when you think about Spags' defense, Spags wants to dial up a lot of pressure. You want to attack you from multiple levels. And he is not afraid to hang out his corners to dry. You better be able to play. You better be able to cover. And Sneed has been able to surprisingly hold his own, even as a young player. That bodes well for Kansas City because now they can turn under pressure even more and as you're having to chase points to really keep up with their high-powered offense.
All right, Raiders, I mentioned wideouts in this league. Bryan Edwards, look, a lot was expected. There was a lot of buzz on him coming into last season, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. Derek Carr, it said, gosh, who did he compare him to? He compared him to somebody
somebody big time. I cannot remember who the comparison was. It wasn't Devontae, but it was a big time comparison that he threw out there because he is big and physical.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So he was getting a lot of love coming into last season. Wasn't totally healthy. So keep him healthy. Could be a big year ahead for Bryan Edwards. Obviously, the quarterback loves him. And then Chargers, the last team here in the AFC West. Herbert is the easy one to keep an eye on. We're all going to be watching Herbert after what he did year one. But I'm going to go with their second first-round pick in Kenneth Murray. And when you kind of look around at other teams, Buck, I don't know who can rival the Chargers in terms of some of the athletes that they can deploy in the middle of the field. When you look at when healthy, Derwin James coming back and being able to drop him down and do things with him down around the line of scrimmage, Kenneth Murray, who we're talking about here, can fly. I mean, he is explosive and fast, and he's gonna be more comfortable, and he's gonna be a good fit here in Coach Staley's defense. Drew Tranquil is a phenomenal young player who got hurt, missed 15 games last year. He got hurt in the first game of the year. They get him back. Kaiser White, who was a safety in college, who plays linebacker for the Chargers. They have a ton of guys that they can put 4 yards off the football from sideline to sideline that can go. So more than anything else, I'm looking forward to Kenneth Murray and Derwin James and how they rock and roll off of each other.
Yeah, I expect them to rock and roll. And the one thing that we do know about Staley, his defense, he's going to find the playmakers and put him in a position to be around the ball. And so this bodes well for him because, man, you talk about a fast defense potentially. They're going to be fast because of the athleticism they have, but they're even going to be faster because they're going to really make it easy for those guys to play and chase the ball. And I expect big things to happen.
All right, as we're recording this here, it did just come across. The Jets did sign Zach Wilson. So he's done. That's the last first-rounder to sign. They were able to come to an agreement on kind of a compromise there in terms of when the cash was paid out and the offset language. So, I don't think it made much sense for either party to drag that out any longer. So they come to agreement, and the Jets get their quarterback coming into camp here. I mean, Buck, it's his gig. I mean, it's your job, so best to get in there and get cranking.
Yeah, get cranking, get to it. Let's see what it looks like. And so we'll see, man, because we worry about the weapons on the outside. Do they have enough? Well, now we got the young guy in camp. They can build that chemistry, that rapport, and we'll see. You got 3 preseason games to get right and hit the ground running when week one opens up.
I think they're doing some joint practices as well, which will be big for him. I want to remind everybody, Saturday, July 31st, 31 of 32 teams are going to be holding practices. It's going to be called Back Together Saturday for training camp coverage. NFL Network, we're going to have you wall-to-wall covered here from 6 a.m. Pacific to 7 p.m. Pacific that night. So all day long, we're going to have content for you where we're really going to be at all 32 teams. I'm going to be I'll be at Chargers. You'll be at Browns. Again, every single team. So if you watch the network during the day from start to finish, your team, we will have somebody there. Be some interviews mixed in, some shots of live practice. It's going to be fun. It's going to be kind of a back to school day is what I'm calling it here for football, Buck.
Yeah, back to school day. It should be fun. I'm excited about it, man. I think all of this is going to be fun. DJ, we're back. We're official. We're in the mix.
Yep, and I want to encourage everybody that's listening. First of all, thank you. Appreciate you hanging with us. And as we get into a new season And we're trying to game plan what we're going to be doing here in the fall. We're going to have three episodes for you, like we've always done once the season gets going. But if you have any ideas, stuff you want us to hit, topics or different segment ideas or weekly things we can do, we don't have a corner on the market on good ideas. So we're open to any and all suggestions. So hit us up on Twitter, social media. Let us know. He's at Bucky Brooks. I'm at Move the Sticks. And let us know what you want to do.
For sure.
Anything else, Buck? You good?
No, I'm good, man. Everything is good. I'm excited, DJ. We get to do it. We're kicking off the weekend. We got everybody coming back into camp, and everybody's there. All the quarterbacks and stars are there. So now we get a chance to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm heading out on Sunday. I was supposed to go, as we mentioned last time. First stop was going to be Jacksonville. The network called an audible on that. So I'm off Jacksonville, Buck, and I'm headed to Pittsburgh. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh, then Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Philly, Jets. So a little Sunday to Thursday trip there. And next week, have our good buddies, Lance Zierlein and Rhett are going to fill in for me here and join you and get some good episodes while I'm gone. And then I'll come back with all types of goodies, I promise.
Oh, I like goodies. Goodies are always good.
I'll take care of you. All right. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.